What is the difference between the material and spiritual suffering? Because when I read the Krishna book, there we can read Krishna lift up the Govardhan hill, and Yashoda, Mother Yashoda, very afraid that what will happen to Krishna, and sometimes they are she is very joyful that Krishna is so strong, but the next moment she is very anxious what will happen to Krishna. What is the difference between the spiritual and material suffering?
The real difference is in the consciousness of the two people who experience or who exhibit seemingly same symptoms of fear or concern or happiness. The consciousness of a materialistic person is that is absorbed in tamagun and rajagun. Tamagun means that they're ignorant of their actual spiritual identity, and rajagun is that they're fruitive, which means that they're looking to gain some benefit. So a materialistic person, when their child is in danger, then they're thinking that something's going to happen to him, like Krishna thought that something was going to happen to Grandfather Bhishma, but Arjun thought, but Krishna explained that nothing's going to happen to him, it's just going to happen to their bodies. And the other is, and then as a result of that, I'm going to lose something. That I'm going to be the loser. So that this child and so on is actually some form of emotional and sensual fulfillment for me, and I'm going to lose that, and then how am I going to live without my child? So that's passionate. And then as a result of that, those then become the udipan, and the result of that is there's different types of bhavas, or different types of emotions come up, and then the emotions have certain type of expression, like crying or hair standing on end and so on. And in the spiritual world, Mother Yashoda, inhabitants of Vrindavan, they also experience or exhibit symptoms of fear and concern, but they're in complete knowledge of their spiritual identity. They don't have any doubt as to who they are. Even though they're actually in Naralila, they live like cowherd men, even though they actually think that they're conditioned souls. Karma, bir, brahmimana, anam. So they think we've got karma. They have no karma, but they think that they have karma. The fact that they think that they have karma doesn't affect their consciousness. The fact that they don't have any karma is what determines their consciousness. So they don't have any karma, they don't have any bodily identification, they're transcendentalists of the highest order, and they have no passion. They're not looking for anything for themselves. All they're looking for is what's good for Krishna. Atmandira priti bancha bolikam, Krishnandira priti dari premanam. So they're whole idea is what is good for Krishna, and if something's happening, they're thinking, oh, Krishna is going to be hurt, Krishna is going to be hungry, Krishna is going to be in some difficult situation. They don't care. They're willing to give up their lives many times, so they have no fruit of concern. So there's no tamagun, no rajagun, no sattvagun. They're neither in the mode of goodness. They're not there because they're trying to make spiritual advancement by serving Krishna. They just want Krishna to be happy. They're transcendental. And because that's their consciousness, so therefore those types of situations become an impetus, become an udipan for certain types of bhavas. But those bhavas are not from the modes of nature, they're not shadow, they're real, and therefore the exhibition of those, although the exhibition may be the same, I may cry, Nanda Maharaj may cry, but that's just the external sattvika bhav of actually a different type of, what's inside is different. The bhav inside is different because one is of a conditioned soul and one is of a transcendental soul. So what they're experiencing is they're experiencing the real thing, and conditioned souls, they just experience the shadow of the reflection, or at best a shadow. Practicing devotees sometimes experience a shadow. But to experience the real thing, one has to be on that platform. And therefore you talk about it, but actually only the tasting. It's as how much can you understand what a rasgulla tastes like by talking about it? It just has a limit. Until you taste it, then you don't know. So until you taste that bhav, then you don't really know the difference. You can understand the difference. You can understand the difference between a rasgulla and a laglu just because of what, you know, that the ingredients are different. But you can't understand the difference in taste until you actually taste it. Hare Krishna.